Chapter 29. Holden. Gravity returned as Alex brought the engine up, and Holden floated down to the deck of the cargo bay airlock at a gentle half-G. They didn't need to go fast, now that the monster was outside the ship. They just needed to put some distance between the ship and it, and get it into the drive's star-hot exhaust plume, where it would be broken down into its various subatomic particles. Even the protomolecule couldn't survive being reduced to ions. He hoped, anyway. When he touched down on the deck, he intended to turn on the wall monitor and check the aft cameras. He wanted to watch the thing being torched. But the moment his weight came down, a white, hot spike of pain took his knee. He yelped and collapsed. Amos drifted down next to him, then kicked off his boot mags and started to kneel.
"You okay, Cap?"
he said.
"Fine. I mean, for I think I blew out my knee levels of fine." "Yeah, joint injury's a lot less painful in microgravity, ain't it?"
Holden was about to reply when a massive hammer hit the side of the ship. The hull rang like a gong. The Rossi's engine cut off almost instantly, and the ship snapped into a flat spin. Amos was lifted away from Holden and thrown across the airlock to slam against the outer door. Holden slid along the deck to land standing upright against the bulkhead next to him, his knee collapsing under him so painfully he nearly blacked out. He chinned a button in his helmet, and his body armor shot him full of amphetamines and painkillers. Within seconds, his knee still hurt, but the pain was very far away and easy to ignore. The threatening tunnel vision vanished, and the airlock became very bright. His heart started to race.
"Alex," he said, knowing the answer before he asked. "What was that?"
"When we torched our passenger there, the bomb in the cargo bay went off," the pilot replied. "We've got serious damage to that bay, to the outer hull, and to engineering. Reactor went into emergency shutdown. The cargo bay turned into a second drive during the blast and put us into a spin. I have no control over the ship."
Amos groaned and began moving his limbs.
"That sucks."
"We need to kill this spin," Holden said. "What do you need to get the attitude thrusters back up?"
"Holden," Naomi cut in. "I think Prax may be injured in the airlock. He's not moving in there."
"Is he dying?"
The hesitation lasted for one very long second. "His suit doesn't think so."
"Then ship first," Holden said. "First aid after. Alex, we've got radios again, and the lights are on, so the jamming is gone, and the batteries must still be working. Why can't you fire the thrusters?"
"Looks like primary and secondary pumps are out. No water pressure."
"Confirmed," Naomi said a second later. "Primary wasn't in the blast area. If it's toast, engineering must be a mess. Secondary's on the deck above. It shouldn't have been physically damaged, but there was a big power spike just before the reactor went offline. Might have fried it or blown a breaker."
"Okay, we're on it. Amos?" Holden said, pulling himself over to where the mechanic lay on the cargo airlock's outer door. "You with me?"
Amos gave a one-handed belter nod, then groaned.
"Just knocked the wind out of me, is all."
"Gotta get up, big man," Holden said, pushing himself to his feet.
In the partial gravity of their spin, his leg felt heavy, hot, and stiff as a board. Without the drugs pouring through him, standing on it would have probably made him scream. Instead, he pulled Amos up, putting even more pressure on it. "I will pay for this later," he thought. But the amphetamines made later seem very far away.
"What?"
Amos said, slurring the word. He probably had a concussion, but Holden would get him some medical attention later when the ship was back under their control.
"We need to get to the secondary water pump," Holden said, forcing himself to speak slowly in spite of the drugs.
"What's the fastest access point?"
"Machine shop," Amos replied, then closed his eyes and seemed to fall asleep on his feet.
"Naomi," Holden said, "can you control Amos's suit from there?"
"Yes. Shoot him full of speed.
I can't drag his ass around with me, and I need him.
Okay, she said. A couple of seconds later, Amos's eyes popped open.
Shit, he said. Was I asleep?
His words were still slurred, but now had a sort of manic energy to them.
We need to get to the bulkhead access point in the machine shop. Grab whatever you think we'll need to get the pump running. It might have blown a breaker or fried some wiring. I'll meet you there.
Okay, Amos said,
then pulled himself along the tow ring set into the floor to get to the inner airlock door. A moment later, it was open, and he crawled out of view. With the ship spinning, gravity was pulling Holden to a point halfway between the deck and the starboard bulkhead. None of the ladders and rings set into the ship, for use in low G or under thrust, would be oriented in the right direction. Not really a problem with four working limbs, but it would make maneuvering with one useless leg difficult. And, of course, once he moved past wherever the ship's center of spin was, everything would reverse. For a moment, his perspective shifted. The vicious Coriolis rattled the fine bones inside his ears, and he was riding a spinning hunk of metal lost in permanent freefall. Then he was under it, about to be crushed. He flushed with the sweat that came a moment before nausea as his brain ran through scenarios to explain the sensations of the spin. He chinned the suit controls, pumping a massive dose of emergency anti-nausea drugs into his bloodstream. Without giving himself more time to think about it, Holden grabbed the tow rings and pulled himself up to the inner airlock door. He could see Amos filling a plastic bucket with tools and supplies he was yanking out of drawers and lockers.
Naomi, Holden said. Going to take a peek in engineering. Do we have any cameras left in there?
She made a sort of disgusted grunt he interpreted as a negative, then said, I've got systems shorted out all over the ship. Either they're destroyed or the power is out on that circuit. Holden pulled himself over to the deck-mounted pressure hatch that separated the machine shop from engineering. A status light on the hatch blinked an angry red.
Shit. I was afraid of that.
What?
Naomi asked.
You don't have environmental readings either, do you?
Not from engineering. That's all down.
Well, Holden said with a long sigh, the hatch thinks there's no atmosphere on the other side. That incendiary charge actually blew a hole through the bulkhead and engineering is in vacuum.
Uh-oh, Alex said. Cargo bay's in vacuum too.
And the cargo bay door is broken, Naomi added. And the cargo airlock.
And a partridge in a fucking pear tree, Amos said with a disgusted snort. Let's get the damn ship to stop spinning and I'll go outside and take a look at it.
Amos is right, Holden said, giving up on the hatch and pushing himself to his feet.
He staggered down a steeply angled bulkhead to the access panel where Amos was now waiting, bucket in hand.
First things first.
While Amos used a torque wrench to unbolt the access panel, Holden said, Actually, Naomi, pump all the air out of the machine shop, too.
No atmo below deck four. Override the safeties so we can open the engineering hatch if we need to.
Amos ran out the last bolt and pulled the panel off the bulkhead. Beyond it lay a dark, cramped space filled with a confusing tangle of pipes and cabling.
Oh, Holden added. Might want to prep an SOS if we can't get this fixed.
Yeah, because we got a lot of people out there who we really want coming to help us right now, Amos said.
Amos pulled himself into the narrow passage between the two hulls and then out of sight. Holden followed him in. 2 meters beyond the hatch loomed the blocky and complex-looking pump mechanism that kept water pressure to the maneuvering thrusters. Amos stopped next to it and began pulling parts off. Holden waited behind him, the narrow space not allowing him to see what the big mechanic was doing.
How's it look?
Holden asked after a few minutes of listening to Amos curse under his breath while he worked.
Looks fine here, Amos said. Gonna swap this breaker anyway, just to be sure. But I don't think the pumps are a problem.
Shit, Holden thought.
Holden backed out of the maintenance hatch and half-crawled up the steep slope of bulkhead back to the engineering hatch. The angry red light had been replaced with a morose yellow one, now that there was no atmosphere on either side of the hatch.
Naomi, Holden said, I've got to get into engineering. I need to see what happened in there. Have you killed the safeties?
Yes, but I've got no sensors in there. The room could be flooded with radiation.
But you have sensors here in the machine shop, right?
If I open the hatch and you get radiation warnings, just let me know. I'll shut it immediately.
Jim, Naomi said, the stiffness that had been in her voice every time she'd spoken to him for the last day slipping a bit. How many times can you get yourself massively irradiated before it catches up with you?
At least once more?
I'll tell the Rosie to prep a bed in sick bay, she said, not quite laughing.
Get one of the ones that's not throwing errors.
Without giving himself time to rethink it, Holden slapped the release on the deck hatch. He held his breath while it opened, expecting to see chaos and destruction on the other side, followed by his suit's radiation alarm. Instead, other than one small hole in the bulkhead closest to the explosion, it looked fine. Holden pulled himself through the opening and hung by his arms for a few moments, examining the space. The massive fusion reactor that dominated the center of the compartment looked untouched. The bulkhead on the starboard side bowed in precariously, with a charred hole in its center, like a miniature volcano had formed there. Holden shuddered at the thought of how much energy had to have been released to bend the heavily armored and radiation-shielded bulkhead in like that, and how close it had come to punching a hole in their reactor. How many more joules to go from a badly dented wall to full containment breach?
God, this one was close, he said out loud to no one in particular.
Swapped out all the parts I can think to, Amos said. The problem is somewhere else.
Holden let go of the rim of the hatch and dropped a half meter to the bulkhead, which angled below him, then slid to the deck. The only other visible damage was a hunk of bulkhead plating stuck in the wall exactly on the other side of the reactor. Holden couldn't see any way that the shrapnel could have gotten there without passing directly through the reactor, or else bouncing off two bulkheads and around it. There was no sign of the first, so the second, incredibly unlikely though it was, had to be what had happened.
I mean really close, he said, touching the jagged metal fragment.
It was sunk a good 15 centimeters into the wall. Plenty far enough to have at least breached the shielding on the reactor. Maybe worse.
Grabbing your camera, Naomi said.
A moment later she whistled.
No kidding.
The walls in there are mostly cabling.
Can't make a hole like that without breaking something.
Holden tried to pull the shrapnel out of the wall by hand and failed.
Amos, bring some pliers and a lot of patch cabling.
So, no on the distress call, then, Naomi said.
No, but if someone could point a camera aft and reassure me that for all this trouble we actually killed that damn thing, that would be just swell.
Watched it go myself, Cap, Alex said. Nothing but gas now.
Holden lay on one of the sick bay beds, letting the ship look his leg over. Periodically, a manipulator prodded his knee, which was swelled up to the size of a cantaloupe. The skin stretched tight as a drum's head. But the bed was also making sure to keep him perfectly medicated, so the occasional pokes and prods registered only as pressure, without any pain. The panel next to his head warned him to remain still. Then two arms grabbed his leg while a third injected a needle-thin, flexible tube into his knee and started doing something arthroscopic. He felt a vague tugging sensation. At the next bed over lay Prax. His head was bandaged where a 3-centimeter flap of skin had been glued back down. His eyes were closed. Amos, who had turned out not to have a concussion, just another nasty bump on his head, was below decks doing makeshift repairs on everything the monster's bomb had broken, including putting a temporary patch on the hole in their engineering bulkhead.
They wouldn't be able to fix the cargo bay door until they docked at Tycho. Alex was flying them there at a gentle quarter G to make it easier to work. Holden didn't mind the delay. The truth was, he was in no hurry to get back to Tycho and confront Fred about what he'd seen. The longer he thought about it, the further he got from his earlier blind panic. And the more he thought Naomi was right. It made no sense for Fred to be behind any of this. But he wasn't sure, and he had to be sure. Prax mumbled something and touched his head. He started pulling on the bandages. "I wouldn't mess with those," Holden said. Prax nodded and closed his eyes again, sleeping or trying to. The autodoc pulled the tube out of Holden's leg, sprayed it with antiseptic, and began wrapping it with a tight bandage. Holden waited until the medical pod was done doing whatever it was doing to his knee, then turned sideways on the bed and tried to stand up. Even at a quarter G, his leg wouldn't support him. He hopped on one foot over to a supply locker and got himself a crutch. As he moved past the botanist's bed, Prax grabbed his arm. His grip was surprisingly strong. "It's dead?" "Yeah," Holden said, patting his hand. "We got it. Thanks." Prax didn't reply. He just rolled onto his side and shook. It took Holden a moment to realize Prax was weeping. He left without saying anything else. What else was there to say? Holden took the ladder lift up, planning to go to ops and read the detailed damage reports Naomi and the Rossi were compiling. He stopped when he got to the personnel deck and heard two people speaking. He couldn't hear what they were saying, but he recognized Naomi's voice, and he recognized the tone she used when she was having an intimate conversation. The voices were coming from the galley. Feeling a little like a peeping Tom, Holden moved closer to the galley hatch until he could make out the words. "It's more than that," Naomi was saying. Holden almost walked into the galley, but something in her tone stopped him. He had the terrible feeling she was talking about him. About them. About why she was leaving. "Why does it have to be more?" the other person said. Amos. "You almost beat a man to death with a can of chicken on Ganymede," Naomi replied. "Gonna hold a little girl hostage for some food? Fuck him. If he was here, I'd smash him again right now." "Do you trust me, Amos?" Naomi said. Her voice was sad. More than that. Frightened.
"More than anyone else," Amos replied.
"I'm scared out of my wits. Jim is rushing off to do something really dumb on Tycho. This guy we're taking with us seems like he's one twitch from a nervous breakdown."
"Well, he's..."
"And you," she continued. "I depend on you. I know you've always got my back no matter what. Except maybe not now. Because the Amos I know doesn't beat a skinny kid half to death no matter how much chicken he asks for. I feel like everyone's losing themselves. I need to understand because I'm really, really frightened." Holden felt the urge to go in, take her hand, hold her. The need in her voice demanded it, but he held himself back. There was a long pause. Holden heard a scraping sound followed by the sound of metal hitting glass. Someone was stirring sugar into coffee. The sounds were so clear he could almost see it.
"So, Baltimore," Amos said, his voice as relaxed as if he were going to talk about the weather. "Not a nice town. You ever heard of squeezing? Squeeze trade? Hooker squeeze?"
"No, is it a drug?"
"No," Amos said with a laugh. "No, when you squeeze a hooker, you put her on the street until she gets knocked up, then peddle her to Johns who get off on pregnant girls. Then send her back to the streets after she pops the kid. With procreation restrictions, banging pregnant girls is quite the kink."
"Squeeze?"
"Yeah, you know, squeezing out puppies. You never heard it called that?"
"Okay,"
Naomi said, trying to hide her disgust. Those kids? They're illegal, but they don't just vanish. Not right away, Amos continued. They got uses, too.
Holden felt his chest tighten a little. It wasn't something he'd ever thought about. When, a second later, Naomi spoke, her horror echoed his.
Jesus.
Jesus got nothing to do with it, Amos said. No Jesus in the squeeze trade. But some kids wind up in the pimp gangs. Some wind up on the streets.
Some wind up finding a way to ship off world and they never go back?
Naomi asked, her voice quiet.
Maybe, Amos said,
his voice as flat and conversational as ever.
Maybe some do. But most of them just disappear, eventually. Used up.
Most of them.
For a time, no one spoke. Holden heard the sounds of coffee being drunk.
Amos, she said, her voice thick. I never...
So, I'd like to find this little girl before someone uses her up, and she disappears. I'd like to do that for her, Amos said.
His voice caught for a moment, and he cleared it with a loud cough.
For her dad.
Holden thought they were done, and started to slip away when he heard Amos, his voice calm again, say,
Then, I'm gonna kill whoever snatched her.